We'll find our place in Isaiah chapter 43. You pray for us tonight. And God will help us to preach. We desire the help of the Holy Ghost tonight. We desire the power of another world. We desire tonight that God would manifest his presence here among us. We pray tonight that God would be the preacher and that we'd hear from heaven. Oh my. Isaiah chapter 43, we get our reading tonight in verse number 14. You pray for me. I found out a long time ago that there'd be no preaching unless God gets in arrangements. We desire his presence here tonight. Isaiah 43 in verse 14, if you're able, let's stand together tonight. We'll reference the word of God. The Bible says here, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power, they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are as quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me to the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. Father, we love you tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. God, the abundance of your grace and mercy. Lord, the freeness of your salvation and Lord, the sweetness of your fellowship and Lord, the depths of your love. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd help us for the space for a few minutes, Father, to preach with boldness. And may you be the preacher tonight. May we hear from heaven and may old time religion live on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to take my text verse tonight from verse 21. I'm interested in several verses of these scripture that I read, but I will take my thought from verse 21, and the Bible says there in that verse of scripture, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. I'm going to preach on this thought for just a little while tonight. God has called us to praise him. God has called us to praise him. And tonight, if you're here, and you've been saved by the grace of God, you've got a lot to be thankful for. I mean, if you've been redeemed, you've got a lot to be thankful for. And I believe that we ought to be in the habit. When people come up and say, how are you, Mr. and how are you, Mrs. So-and-so? I believe we ought to get in the habit of saying, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. And so tonight, I want to preach for just a little while that God has called us to praise him. And I realize as we look at these scriptures that God is dealing and speaking to the nation of Israel. And I understand the difference between Israel and the church. But I believe that we can pull some spiritual applications from this verse and demonstrate from this text how you and I tonight, as blood-bought, Bible-believing, old-time Holy Ghost-filled Christians, can praise God according to the Scriptures. I notice here as we begin to read our text and think about this book of Isaiah in its totality, may I say tonight that when we consider the book of Isaiah, some have said that it's the very heart of the Old Testament. I mean it, my friend. It's there in the book of Isaiah that we have all the prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the person of Christ in chapter 7. We see the suffering of Christ in chapter 53. And my friend, and glory, hallelujah, we see the reign of Christ in chapter 61. But I even thought about the name Isaiah and what it means. It means salvation is of the Lord. I mean, this book, this prophecy, and really God's prophecy is simply this. It's history pre-written. I mean, it's history pre-recorded, because what God has said and what God has established, my friend, will come to pass, every jot and tittle. And as far as God's concerned, you're already in heaven tonight, and He's made us to sit in heavenly places. Glory, hallelujah. And we consider Isaiah the prophet here a salvation of the Lord. And we could go to chapter 1 and verse 18. And I think we could sum up this this book of redemption in one verse of Scripture. The Bible says here, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." Well, glory, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, listen, that Sunday morning that God saved my soul, I come in the back of the house, lost, headed to hell in my sin. But my friend, I went home that day, cleansed in the blood of Christ from all unrighteousness, saved and made a fit subject of the kingdom of God. Glory, hallelujah. I got born again. I got my feet set on the solid rock. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. And my friend, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I mean, when John saw him come, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Oh, my friend, when he laid his head on his breast, he was listening to the heartbeat of heaven. Glory, hallelujah. My goodness, tonight I'm glad to be saved. I believe I could have a running spell. I believe I could kick off my shoes and shout glory and run a lap or two. I mean, it's good to feel saved, and it's good to know you're saved, and it's good to be headed to heaven, and it's good to be a child of the King, and it's good to be blood-bought and born again and saved by the grace of God. Well, glory. Hallelujah. We consider this book of prophecy, and so many things in there. How could we ever even exhaust John 3:16 or even a verse of Scripture? But there's so much in this book, and it's a book of redemption. And my friend, I see several types of redemption. I'm just plowing a little gospel ground right now. I'm going to get to my thought in just a moment. But I realize that in this book, we have the record of God delivering Israel from Assyrian invasion. I mean, they were delivered from that potential captivity. I mean, not only that, but Israel will be delivered from Babylonian captivity. He prophesied about it. He called Cyrus by name long before it that it ever occurred. And my friend, in chapters 11 and 12, we find out that one day, my friend, that Israel will be delivered from worldwide dispersion, that God will bring his people home. And there in chapter 53, we read that God has delivered the lost. It's a book of redemption. I mean, in chapter 61 through 66, he's going to deliver the creation from the curse. He's going to make every wrong right, and he's going to restore everything to its proper order. And I say glory, hallelujah. I mean, we consider the book of Isaiah, this book of redemption, this book of prophecy, this book of pre-recorded history, God's history, and how he deals with the nation of Israel and you and I as a people through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that in chapters 1 through chapter 39, it's the record of the condemnation. I mean, Isaiah is condemning Israel for their sin. But in chapters 40 through chapter 60, it's the consolation. He tells them that God will deliver them. And in verse chapter 61 through 66, we have the crowning. Glory, hallelujah. Is everybody with me tonight? Are you glad to be saved? What I'm saying tonight is simply this. This is a book of redemption. I mean, it speaks of the redemptive act of God. Hey, listen, if you've been saved, you've been begotten by the word of God. I mean, if my people and your people will ever be saved, it'll be because some leather lung preacher preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. Not reformation, not turning over a new leaf, not starting over. I'm talking about being born again, being made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Well, glory. 2 weeks ago yesterday, I had the blessing, if you will, of leading an 81-year-old man to the Lord. And Brother Brian, in the back of a Chevrolet truck, as you were singing there in that song, in the back seat of a Chevrolet truck, and God worked all that out and made all the arrangements. And a year before that, I tried to talk to him about the Lord, but he didn't have time. But on this day, all of a sudden, he had time. And my friend, God allowed me to lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that God is in the saving business, and God's still on the throne, and God still desires to deliver old sinners from their sin. And I say that to say this. Number one, to share the blessing with you so you can rejoice with me. And then number two, this Friday, Lord willing, I'm going to go to his place of business. I'm going to disciple with him for a little while and tell him and discipling just what it means to be saved. And I preach a message in Acts chapter 9 and there regarding the conversion of Saul, who we know as Paul. And the title of the message is simply this, What Now? I've been saved, I've been forgiven, I'm on my way to heaven, but what now? I mean, my friend, I believe God has left us here for a reason. And so tonight I'm preaching on this thought. God has called us to praise him. It's all rooted and relative and based on his redemptive act when he draws us with cords of love unto himself and forgives us of our sin, not for our sakes, but for his. Glory, hallelujah. And we become vessels of honor for his glory. And so I thought about this, and there's many things we could preach about showing forth his praise, or God has called us to praise him. We could run a topical study throughout the Bible. But I want to look at just three things tonight from these scriptures, from this group of scriptures, that I believe will be a help to you and to I if we'll just heed the word of God. I believe we can get help from God's word. I've never met anybody that encountered Jesus that didn't get some help. And my friend, the word of God, I mean, it's life-changing. And if you're here tonight, saved or lost, either way, you can go home tonight with joy in your soul and happiness in your heart. And you can go home shouting the victory. And there's no reason to go home tonight any less than saved and happy in the Lord. Three things that I want to share with you tonight about God has called us to praise Him. I mean, how do we do that? I mean, we all understand the outward display of praise when we wave our hands and we shout the victory and we say amen and those outward signs of worship. But what does it mean to praise Him in our daily life, in our daily walk, as we go about our daily affairs, whether at work or at home or at school or on the job or wherever we might be? How do we praise Him? Well, first of all, I want to say this. Now, I don't have any fancy alliteration tonight. I'm just preaching you what God has given to me. And first of all, I believe that if we're going to show forth His praises, I mean, that's what He said there in verse number 21. He said, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." Well, glory. I believe, first of all, if we're going to praise Him in our daily walk and have a victorious Christian life and have happiness in our heart, we must forget the failures of the past. We must forget the failures of the past. I take up that thought in verse number 18. The Bible says, I believe He's talking about two things here. The Assyrian invasion and the deliverance from Egypt in the days of old. But He says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the old." Oh, listen, I found out a long time ago, and I'm an old-timey person. I mean, I like biscuits and gravy, and I like cornbread and beans, and I like a big onion with it when I eat it. I'm just old school, my friend, but I found out a long time ago there's no future in the past. And you say, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying in a lovely congregation. I mean, I know some of the finest people that I've ever encountered. You can see the joy of the Lord on your face. At least I could before you put your mask on. But you know, my friend, I'm satisfied, good, God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians. It's evident. It's evident. It's all over you. But I'm satisfied even in the midst of a congregation like this, in my life and in your life, if we're not careful, we'll let Satan beat us up and tear us down and cause us to lament over things that cannot be undone and cannot be changed. And we'll focus on the past and forget that God has redeemed us and delivered us and set us free. And we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. I know I'm a pastor or a pester, I tell some people. I mean, I'm a pastor. I know I counsel with people, and some people have a hard time letting the past go. But my friend, why should we? Well, glory. Why should we not forget the past when God has forgotten it? Oh, listen, He said in verse 25, even I, as He hath blotted out thy transgressions for my sakes. Well, glory, you get a hold of this, you'll want to run and shout, and will not remember thy sins. Oh, listen, you must remember. This is speaking of the Babylonian captivity. It's God's earthly elect with earthly promises. And my friend, they had no temple and no tabernacle in Babylon. They made no sacrifice and no offerings. Yet God forgave them, not for their sakes, but for His sakes. And it speaks to the depths of God's mercy and His grace. My goodness. I'm just saved by grace. I didn't do anything to merit God's goodness. I couldn't have worked my way into God's grace. I couldn't have paid my way into God's grace. My righteousness was as filthy rags. But God reached down out of heaven for Christ's sake, and he had mercy and grace on me, and he saved me in spite of myself. Well, glory. Well, glory. If we're going to show forth his praises, if God has called us to praise him, we must forget the failures of the past. I mean, God has formed us. We read about that. He's chosen us. He's redeemed us. Why remember what God has forgotten? Glory, hallelujah. I tell you tonight, my friend, if you're struggling with something in your past, I'm not talking about turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. I'm not talking about trotting underfoot the blood of the covenant. I'm not talking about counting as an unholy thing. I'm not talking about taking advantage of God, but I'm saying if you're saved and born again, and I do believe in believers' repentance, there's times in our life when we have to get things right with the Lord. And my friend, if you're like me, every day. But my friend, we must let the things of the past go. There may be somebody here tonight that's struggling with something. Something deep down in your heart, you're wounded over it, and you can't seem to let it go, and it seems like Satan's got you backed up in a corner. You can't move forward and you can't go backwards. But my friend, you've got to let that thing go and give it to God and turn it over to him and keep your eyes on Jesus. Because glory. I didn't know service was going to be this way. I didn't know Brother Brian's going to get up and sing, going to shout the house, then he's going to tell me to preach. I thought I might have just a minute to at least say hello or something, but glory, hallelujah, I'm feeling good tonight. But listen, when we look at circumstance and those around us, we have a horizontal view of God. But when we look beyond circumstance, we get a vertical view of God. Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth. But my friend, we must live above sea level, and we must keep our eyes on Jesus, and we must live by faith. We must forget the failures of the past. Are we doing okay tonight? I'm just looking at some things. Now, I mean, your pastor, well read the scriptures. He could preach on this topic for a month of Sundays. He'd run all over the Bible. But I'm just picking out two or three things from this text. And I'm just a simple person. But forget the failures of the past. And then second, I'd like to say we must witness for him in the present. If we're going to show forth his praises, God has called us to praise him. He tells us in verse 21, he says, "This people have I formed for myself that they shall show forth my praise." Now, I know he's talking about Israel, but hey, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've been made to be a child of God also. Hey, you've been you're a part of the body of Christ. And my friend, God has called us and chosen us and redeemed us to show forth his praise. We must witness for him in the present. I thought about it with respect to Israel, the nation of Israel. And there's many things that God called Israel for. But three things I want to present to you tonight. It'll go along with our thought. But first of all, I want to say regarding Israel. God formed them. He called them. He chose them, number one, to give the world the Messiah. Romans chapter 9 and verses 4 and 5 says, "Who are the Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers and whom as concerning the flesh Christ came? Who is over all, God bless forever. Amen." So one of the purposes that God had for Israel was to bring the Messiah into the world. And secondly, he formed Israel. He chose Israel that they might give the world the scriptures. That's what he said in Romans chapter 3. He said, "Not much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. I mean, God gave his word to those people, and they were the caretakers of God's word. And my friend, and not only that, but God chose them to be a testimony of God himself. We see it in chapter 44 and verse number 8, probably over a page in your Bible, but it says, "Fear ye not, neither be ye afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." Hey, listen, God has chosen us to forget that he's called us to show forth his praise, to forget the failures of the past, and to witness for him in the present. I believe we ought to go with a song in our heart and a prayer on our lips. We ought to be a living testimony of the grace of God. And we ought to be ready at every moment to tell of the hope that lies within us and to shed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. I pray, one of my prayers daily is, God, place somebody in my path that I can tell them Jesus about. Lord, let me talk to someone today about Jesus. God, would you make a divine appointment? Listen, I mean, if we're going to show forth the praise, I mean, we can't. Hey, listen, God wants us to praise him in here. And we've been doing that tonight in the form of worship. But he wants us to praise him out there. And we do that, my friend, by declaring the word of God to a lost and a dying world, that we might be light and a city on a hill that cannot be hid. Glory, hallelujah. Four times in all four gospels in the book of Acts, the Great Commission is given. I mean, we're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it is, glory, it is the Great Commission and not the Great Omission. I mean, God has called us to declare his word to a lost and a dying world. We must forget the failures of the past. We see that in verse 18 of our text. He told them there, he said, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." We're to witness for him in the present. We see that there in our text verse in verse 21. He says, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." Glory. Well, glory. And not only are we to witness for him in the present, but we're to claim his promise for the future. Well, glory, glory. I see it there in verses 19 and 20 of the Bible said. Now this is, he's talking to them after their deliverance. He tells them in verse 19, "Behold, I will do a new thing." Oh, listen, I'm glad God did a new thing in my life. I'm glad that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm not the man I used to be. I may look the same on the outside, and I may not look like much to the world, but I've been saved by the grace of God, and he loved me, and he washed me, and he saved me, and he's called me, and he's chose me. And one of these days, well, glory. I got on at the port of Calvary, and one of these days I'm going to step off in the port of glory, and I'm going to get off, and I'm going to walk the street of gold, and I'm going to lay before the, and I'm going to get before the Lord and cast crowns at his feet, and there'll be the crowns of grace that God gave me in this life's journey. I mean, the blessings that you sung about tonight, I'm going to lay them all at his feet, because I have nothing to claim on my own. Everything I have is by his goodness and his grace. Well, glory. Somebody say amen. I mean, I'm a feeling good tonight. We must claim his promise for the future. He said he'd do a new thing. And that new thing we find in verses 19 and 20. I'll read the text and I'll comment on it, and we'll be brief and be finished. He said, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. You know what he said he's going to do? He said, hey, I'm going to bring you out. I formed you. I made you. I chose you. I redeemed you. I delivered you. I'm going to bring you forth out of captivity. And when I do, I'm going to feed you. And I'm going to give you a drink. I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to care for you. And I'm mind to believe, my friend, that God will see to my need until he gets me all the way home to glory. Well, glory. I might read one other place. The Lord just put a verse of scripture in my heart, and I said I was coming to a close, but you know how preachers are. That's like the guy that took his watch off and sat there on the podium. And the little boy leaned over and said, Mommy, he said, what's that? What's that mean? She said, absolutely nothing. And so let's go to... You weren't supposed to laugh too hard on that. I'll be like the fat man going through a barbed wire fence. One more point and I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 1. So I want to read a few verses. I may have to find my spot here. God just kind of drew my attention to these. I want to leave you something tonight. I believe that we must claim his promise for the future, don't you? Hey, glory. This world is not my home. I'm like Abraham who was seeking a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger, a passing through. My home is somewhere up yonder. Well, glory. Blessed 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll begin reading at verse 3. Just a couple of verses of scripture, and I promise I'll be finished. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Well, glory. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What's it say? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Oh, listen, my friend, God's got a better thing waiting for us. Hey, listen, one of my employees, his father passed away, COVID, in Tennessee just a couple of weeks ago. And I was talking to him, trying to comfort his heart a little bit. And I told him, I said, I'm glad that I'm going to a land that's fairer than day. Oh, I'm glad that one of these days, honey, I'm gonna lay off the things of this world. I'm going to put aside the trials and the troubles and the afflictions of this world, and I'm going to step on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. I'm going to stand in the presence of God, and I'm going to receive my inheritance, one that's undefiled and fadeth not away and is reserved in heaven for me and you. Glory, hallelujah. Let's show forth our praise to him tonight. God's called us to be a people of praise. He's redeemed us. He purchased us. Not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God shed his blood at Calvary for your sin and for my sin. If there was ever a people that had reason to be happy, it's you and it's me. Oh, listen, we ought not to live in the world of complaint and bitterness. Hey, we ought to live in the world of happiness and joy and deliverance and be thankful for what God has done for us. Amen.